Okay, let's see if I can get this thing jacked up here a little bit. Open your Bibles to one of the easiest books I can tell you to find tonight. Book of Revelation. Last chapter. That's really easy to find. And we'll talk about it a little bit. Not an unusual subject for me, for sure. Just want to talk about it a little bit tonight. Talk about the fact that not only that Jesus is coming, but I want to talk about why he's coming. Why he's coming. Pick it up with me in chapter 22, Revelation, last chapter. We'll just take two verses, a little bit out of the context. John has been blessed to see and receive the whole vision of the book and the whole message. And boy, he seems to have gotten very excited here near the end when he's seen what the Lord is really going to do and how it's going to turn out. And of course, the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven and all that. But looking at verse 7 of Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Then he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Then if you drop right on over to next to the last verse, Revelation 20. You see, the second coming of Christ is very important in the Bible, mentioned so many times, and important to the Father. He which testify these things, verse 20 of chapter 22, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I think about this word here, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. I think about the young seminary preacher that went off to preach one Sunday morning in a strange church he hadn't been to before. He was nervous. He was scared. But these verses I read was his text that morning. And he got up and he leaned over the pulpit and announced his text. And he said, behold, I come quickly. And then he couldn't think of anything else to say. He kind of froze. And he said, well, behold, I come quickly. And then he said, behold, I come quickly. And that time he went over the pulpit, right on the front row in a large lady's lap. He looked up and said, ma'am, I am so sorry. She said, it's my fault. You warned me three times you was coming and I didn't move. So, truth is, a lot of folks been warned a lot about the Lord coming. They hadn't moved yet. And it hadn't moved them yet. I think about the news, if you saw just a little bit this afternoon, I didn't get to see all of it, but boy, there's some real big stuff going over there in Syria right now with Russia. And basically the Russian, somebody turned off the lights back there, see what they're doing. Basically, the Russian general, or we'll call him a general, went in to and gave America warnings, get your planes out of there. Don't fly over the territory. We're taking over now. That's pretty interesting, folks. And in fact, they went in and joined the war for Syria against the rebellion, in which America has sided with the rebellion and been supplying the rebellion arms. You do know that, don't you? Now, I'm not saying America is really right on the thing, because a lot of Christians got murdered over there in Syria. Even worse, after we went over there and began to help the rebels, than they were getting, than was being done under Assad himself. So it's a real mixed up affair. But what is really coming interesting is we're at heads right now with Russia over who's going to command the airspace. That's big, whether you know it or not. I find this really interesting. If they knew what the Bible said, they're fulfilling it every day. It's amazing. Ezekiel says God would put hooks in their jaws and pull them down. And brother, they are pulling down. They are coming right into the position. What you got Russia, Syria, and Iran now basically ganging up together. Oh, it's a mess. I don't want to stay on it long. You hear me talk about it all the time, but I'm just simply saying the good part of it is it just tells you the Bible's being fulfilled and the Lord Jesus is coming. Amen? I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But say, why is he coming? Well, he's coming, number one, to fulfill his word. Do you ever think about how many times you can go in the Bible and find where it tells you Jesus is coming? Now, God's not a man that he should lie, the scripture says. No doubt about it, he's coming. You know, I find it even interesting in the local atheistic type anti-God crowd that's in much of the media. I find that they are even talking. You know, they were kind of mocking because the blood moon showed up and Jesus didn't come. And I never said he would come on the blood moons. I say the blood moons are a very interesting thing on the Jewish feast and all that. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but he's closer today than he was yesterday. And he will come, no doubt about it. I saw this one reporter, in fact, I believe it was in the Ledger. She wrote and said there was a poll in America that said the majority of the people, I forget what the figure was, 60, 70% of Americans believe the rapture would take place before 2050. That was her talk. And she was mocking a little bit about that. Well, I sure do. I believe he'll come for then. I believe he can come any time. Amen. And when I see this stuff being fulfilled like it is, sure, I think he's coming soon. And I want him to come soon because I can't stand another 80 birthdays. Amen. I can't hold him up that long. But you know what? He's coming to fulfill his word. Now, his word says in John 14, if I go away, I will come again. That's a promise, isn't it? Sure, it's a promise. It's a blessed hope. If you want to look at it, go over to Titus. Get through 1 and 2 Timothy and get over to Titus, and it's called our blessed hope. Now, figuring out who the Antichrist is not my blessed hope. Being here when the missiles begin to fall and the tribulation period breaks loose, that's not my hope. I'm looking here at verse 13, says, looking for that blessed hope. It's a good thing. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you, if you got this hope in you, you know what 1 John says? Go over to 1 John. Just use your Bible a little bit tonight. And run over to 1 John chapter 3 and pick it up with me very quickly in about verse 3. Are you doing that? Don't be lazy about it. Flip your pages. 1 John chapter 3 is talking about the coming of the Lord. Verse 2 in chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. If you say, that's what you are. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I'm not 100% sure what we'll look like, but I think we'll look better than we ever had in our life. Amen. We'll feel better than we've ever felt in our life. We'll know more than we've ever known before, right? It just can't be anything but positive, just positive. And it says when he appears, we'll be like him. And that's pretty interesting because after his resurrection, didn't he do some things that was unusual? Walk through the wall, he didn't need the door. Right? Appear wherever he wanted to, disappear, all those things. Wouldn't that be good? I can think of a lot of things that would be good about it. But here's what I want you to get in verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, what hope? The hope of the Lord's coming for us. The believer, the born again believer's hope. Every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifieth himself. As he is pure. Now get this. God says it will inspire us to purify ourselves, to live cleaner. to act better, to forgive quicker, to not covet maybe so much as we do, purify ourselves. Ken, let me ask you, and I won't ask you for any specifics, but does your mind run anything that you could still purify in your life? Maybe in your thought patterns, maybe in what your eyeballs are looking at from time to time. I'll tell you this, the porn and all the bad stuff is all over the electronic waves out there now, whether it be on your TV or your cell phone or wherever it's at. And don't think for a minute when you're looking at it, God don't know. And that's something that really in America right now needs purifying among Christians. It's amazing. The stats are just terrible for believers. In many cases, even so-called preachers. You heard the Brother Burke the other night when he was preaching, and he was talking about that website, millions on it, that got exposed and it got hacked, and all the names that appeared, and many of them committed suicide because they were prominent people, and they couldn't stand the embarrassment and what was going to do to them, and bankers, lawyers, and yeah, even some preachers committed suicide because they got exposed that impure double life standard that they were holding on to. You say, oh, that's somebody way off. No, it's been within these church walls various times, various people. Some have left the church because I preached against the stuff too hard and they were in it and they wouldn't give it up. Yeah. Don't ever undermess the depravity of the sons of Adam. It's sitting pretty quiet. How many of you are guilty? I'm going to get you to raise your hand. You wouldn't want to do that, would you? Well, just remember, God's looking, and if we have the expectancy that Jesus could come any moment, it'll help us purify ourselves. Put the filth away. Dirty thoughts as well as actions. Amen? I'm talking about here, the blessed hope will do something to you if you got it. Now, he's coming back to fulfill his word. He's promised all through the book. And in spite of man, in spite of the nations, and I saw just a little bit of John Kerry trying to talk his way. I mean, you talk about something sad. One of the commentaries, one of the newsmen said after he and the Russian counterpart, Secretary of Russia, stand up there together, and one of the newsmen said after they left, he said, that's a good demonstration of the strength of Russia and the weakness of America with all the pussyfooting that Kerry was doing. You see, they actually struck today and struck the very people that we are arming and backing, and even killed a bunch of civilians. You just can't dodge the facts. There they were. And yet trying to talk it away. Boy, if talk could do it, we got the talk going on, but it's not working. He's coming back to fulfill his word, and that ought to enthuse us to purify our lives and live for the Lord Jesus Christ like never before. Amen? And then he's coming back not only to fulfill his word, but to finish his work. Now, Jesus started to work on earth. You know that? Yeah, he started the church. And the church age is not finished yet. I think it's getting very close. He'll finish it when he calls his bride out. Amen? Yeah. When the trumpet sounds. But you know what else he did on earth? Well, he raised Lazarus from the grave, showing he had the power over death, John 11. But he also arose from the grave, the resurrection, as the first fruits. First fruits. Now listen to me. If some of you folks had a garden, and some of you had some farm experience, when you go out to harvest a crop, there's always that gets ripe first. I got in trouble when I was a kid getting in my uncle's watermelon patch, hunting a ripe watermelon. Got in there too soon. They were not ripe. But I took my little pocket knife and I plugged them. How many of you know how to plug a watermelon? There's some hands, intelligent folks. Now what you do if you plug one and you're not supposed to be in there doing it and it's too green to eat, you roll it over. So you hide the plug. There's only one problem. That watermelon spoiled. And when my uncle went through and turned it back right, he knew no bug cut that plug out of there, brother. It was a boy. Amen. But you know what I was hunting? I was hunting the first fruits, the first ripe ones in the patch. And all crops have some that come on early. Right here in the Orange Belt, we have some that come early and some, and then the main group, and then you'll have some late ones. And Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. The harvest of the resurrection hadn't happened yet. The full harvest hadn't ripened yet. It's close. And the trumpet will call us out any day. So he's coming back to finish his work. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And he's coming back to get the rest of it. He's going to raise the saints. Amen. And let me give you three or four R's here. Sometimes it helps your mind work if you just put you preacher boys. He's coming back to finish his work. Here it is. Number one, he's going to raise the saints. Number two, he's going to reunite families. Number three, still following the R's, he's going to reward his servants. And then number four, he's going to restore the seed of Abraham. That's the Jews. Get those four R's? Going to raise the saints. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, raise the saints. Then he's going to reunite families. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Pick it up in about verse 17. A famous passage, we use it all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul is telling church at Thessalonica that some of their loved ones had died, and they had the question, what about them? Did they miss the resurrection? And so Paul is answering them in 1 Thessalonians 4. He said, I'd not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's ones that died, believers that died. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Don't sorry. You still got the hope. They're going to be raised. Amen. It says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Then on we go, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go ahead of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody said the Baptists are going first in the resurrection because it says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Well, seemed like it sometime. But then it says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And this is what I want you to see. We that are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now here's the point. We that are alive are going to meet our loved ones in the air at the resurrection. Now, to me, that's a wonderful blessing. I think about how many church members have gone on and under my ministry and how many funerals I've had. They're up there. We got a pile of church members already ahead of us. But we're going to meet them in the air. The Lord is so good, he's going to bring my mom and dad back down to about the cloud level, and I'm going to go up and meet them. I don't understand how God can make it, but that's what the Word says. Meet them in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he's going to reunite families. He put some families together when he was on earth. His Word, when people obey it, put families together still. But brother, even death cannot separate what God's going to do at the resurrection. For those that are saved, you're going to meet them, if you're saved, in the air. So I don't understand that. Well, there's a whole pile of stuff we don't understand right now. But the same God that made it all is going to make that happen, just like he said. So I'm going to believe his word. He's coming back to finish his work. Part of it is reuniting families that have been separated by death. And then he's going to reward his servants. Listen, God is so good. He saved our soul. He left us here to serve him. And then he's even going to pay us for serving him. Going to reward us for serving him. Now that's good. You know that? I mean, there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We're going to face the deeds done in the body. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's going to be a judgment as the wood, hay, and stubble, or the gold, silver, and precious stone. Going to be tested as by fire. Put wood, hay, and stubble in a fire, it burns up. Put gold, silver, and precious stones in a fire, and it only what? Purifies it. And the things you've done for the Lord is not forgotten by him. They may have never been known by the preacher or the deacon or even your neighbor or your kinfolks, but God has never missed a thing that you've done for him. It's going to be worth it. I mean, last chapter of Malachi talks about it pays to serve God. That when he comes back, he's going to discern between them that love him and serve him and them that don't. And in that chapter, it even speaks of us. He's going to make up his jewels. Do you know if you're a servant of God, he sees you as a jewel, something precious, something of value? That's what he's telling us. So he's going to reward his servants. And then he's going to restore the seed of Abraham. He had a plan for the Jews, and he's not going to let the world keep that plan from happening. I saw on the caption of the news either today or yesterday somewhere, it said for the first time they were raising the Palestinian flag at the UN. They're going to create a Palestinian state on top of the state of Israel because they don't want to recognize that God gave that land to the Jews, but he did. And brother, it's not going to be long before he's going to come back and prove who owns it. The Palestinians never had a state. Not in history did they have a state. And yet they want to call them the Palestinian state. And you had the Pope over there at the UN with all of his stuff. You have their agenda, and they raised the Vatican flag also, but they definitely raised the Palestinian flag. They are flying in the face of what God wrote in his book, what God's plan for Israel is. And this Bible tells me that Israel is the apple of God's eye. It's dangerous to mess with it. They're going to divide the city and try to, they've already got him pinched down to even only just a small portion of the land that God gave the boundaries on in the Bible that belonged to Israel. And so the truth is now they're trying to even pinch him further. We're getting close to God taking action. I don't know. Could it take another 5 or 10, 15 years for it all to develop? Yes, it probably could. But boy, it's going to have to slow up because it's moving fast now. And I can just imagine just a very short time, a lot of stuff may start coming together even faster. Well, I want to say this. He is coming back. Why? To fulfill his word. Why? To finish his work. And why? To finalize the winner. Say, who's the winner? It's the Lord. But this world thinks it's the devil. They actually think it's Satan that's the winner. You say, not really. Oh, yeah, they do. You'd be surprised. Well, let me ask you this. You know a tree by the fruit it bears, don't you? So what kind of fruit is the world bearing now? Is it bearing fruit for God or for the devil? I mean, we got this abortion thing. We got gay marriage. Do you know that our president, Mr. Obama, Hussein, he was the one that was able to pick who was going to meet the Pope. Now, traditionally, the Catholic Church has stood against abortion. Traditionally, they have stood against gay marriage. So Mr. Obama picked some gay activists and some abortion activists, well known, and let them be in the front of the line to shake hands with the Pope. Now, see, you wouldn't know that just watching it, but that was a slap in the face of what the Catholic Church has stood for. With all their wrong, there's a few things they've stood for that was right, and not killing the babies was one of them. And so to handpick the very people active against the very doctrine that the Pope is supposed to stand for. Now, I'm going to say this. He's watered his position down to where you don't hardly know what he stands for and all that. But, again, I ask you, what kind of fruit bearing is that? I mean, if you're looking at God and looking at the fruit tree of the nations right now, is it bearing fruit for him or for the devil? It's bearing fruit for the devil. It has been for a long time. And we know we're in a warfare with the flesh, the world, and the devil. We know Ephesians 6:12 says we're in a spiritual warfare. Sure, we know that. But there's a lot of people think the devil is a winner. But he's not. He's a deceiver. And he's a loser. Have you ever read what God does with him in the book of Revelation, finally? How he winds up in the pit. Amen. He does. He loses. But many are picking him as a winner today. That's too bad. A lot of young people I've actually had knowledge of for a short time. A few young people that attended this church, just a little bit, who carried this philosophy. The preacher is lying to all you young folks. He don't want you to have fun. If you want to have some fun, join us in our satanic worship. He is going to be the winner, not God. You say nobody would have come in. Oh, yeah, I could give you some names of folks that have come in here holding that philosophy. Sometimes, and by the way, everybody that does this is not of that crowd, but sometimes I've seen folks, maybe you didn't know it, and maybe they didn't know it, was dressing like, painting themselves up like, that they were on the devil's side instead of God's side. I'm going to mess with you just a little bit. I heard somebody said this real good. Said to see a pretty girl with a tattoo on her was like looking at a Ferrari or a Rolls Royce with a bumper sticker on it. Think that one through a minute. Think that one through. What you got is you got a lot of folks looking like they're on the wrong side, looking like they're on the devil's side, doing the devil's tricks, and bearing fruit for him instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sad, but it's true. Many of them picking a loser when they think they're picking a winner. Some of you have heard me refer to this before, but many of you remember Brother Jack Hudson. He's been dead a good while. He'd done a great job to have a crippling disease that he had and did a great job. But through him, we were able to get that actual video that he and his youth leader took in their office of the devil-possessed girl, had several devils in her, that came to their office and they were able to cast them out. We showed some of the video here. It was an awful thing to see. She talked like a sweet little innocent girl for a little bit, and then all of a sudden her voice would become several different voices, men's voices would speak out of her, devils speaking out of her, demons speaking out of her. And when she'd go in that trance one time, she brought her arm up and bit a plug out of it. She had on sandals. She'd bring her foot up and point it, and the toes would look like fingers the way they would move, and point it at the preacher and say, "You want me to give you a heart attack?" And all the dirty talk that you know is gutter talk, you can tell where it come from because that's the language they used. Now, you've heard me tell it before. They would, the preacher would take control of the devil through the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus. And one time the youth leader in arguing with them made a mistake. He did make a mistake. He started trying to command them without using the blood in his command. And that demon said, "You make me sick talking about the blood. I was there. I saw the whole bloody mess," talking about the crucifixion. And then that demon said, and some of you young men listen to me, he said, "You want me to tell what I know you have been doing, the sins you've been committing? When you go up against the devil, you better know something. You better be clean. You better be right. Because you're not going to fool him like you do your friends. He knows what you look at. He knows what you're doing." Anyway, here was my point on bringing that up. That girl told the preacher she had been raised, her daddy was a warlock, her mother was a witch. She had been impregnated by her own daddy on purpose to have a baby delivered, so it'd be delivered right at Halloween. They do, by the way, leave the Halloween mess alone. It is of the devil. And they went out in the woods and had a big fire and had a big meeting of the witch's coven. And they cooked the baby and they ate it because that was Satan's command. And this girl was shocked because the preacher... And by the way, the preacher asked her, "Did you eat any of your own baby?" And she said, "I had a taste of it." That's what she said. I showed it to the college back then, but they wouldn't let us show it very much. I had special permission to do that, and we did. And don't ask me for it. I don't have it now. Anyway, it was very real. It was not faked. It was an awful thing to see and hear. The devil's very real. But he's not the winner. He wins some battles, but he's lost the war. And that girl was shocked to hear the preacher say that Satan's not God, that there's another God above him, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God Jehovah. She had been raised by a warlock and a witch to think Satan was God, that he was all powerful. And hearing the preacher preach on the radio, she called him because she couldn't believe. She thought Satan was the top. He was it, but he wasn't. Don't let him con you into thinking he's the winner, and don't join the crowd that's for him. Don't even look like him, act like him, talk like him. None of that business. If you do, some folks will say, "I wonder which side he's on or she's on." Watch out for it. A little ways till Halloween yet, but maybe I'll say something else about that a little bit later. Is that just innocent fun? Yeah, most of the time it is. But I don't even give that much credit to Satan's side. Amen? All right. Why is Jesus coming?